And happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And fathers, we have some treats for you, which don't forget to pick these up. I'm going to make you wait till after the service. I know on Mother's Day we passed them out early, but we're going to wait, fathers, because we're patient or something like that. But so after the service, please, they'll be at the Welcome Center. Please grab your treat. And it's not just for fathers. I got enough for all the men who are here today. And I think it's really good. It's toffee covered in chocolate. So don't forget to grab yours on the way out. No mothers, try to sneak any. I know they sound good. And I want to thank all the fathers for your faithfulness, for your dedication to your families, for the role models, for the example that you are. It's a great responsibility to have. And it seems to go by very quickly. I'm sure some of you will tell me that more than I understand. My oldest is now 7, and I can't believe it. And every day we have with them is an opportunity to invest and to be an example and to mentor them and to disciple them, honestly. So I want to thank you all. I want to thank God for the dad that he gave to me. He passed away not too long ago, but I mean, it's kind of a difficult day when you stand up here and you actually think about it. But I'm so thankful for the dad that God blessed me with, for the example that he was, the godly man, the way that he trained me, invested in me. And really, it's a challenge to me to try to do the same for my children. So I just want to praise God for that, because I didn't have to be placed in that situation with that father. But God saw it fit, and that's the situation I was in. So all praise to him. This morning for our text, we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. And when I say that verse, probably a lot of you have it memorized. Maybe your thought is, what in the world are we doing there on Father's Day? But I'll explain. And in thinking of Father's Day and preparing for Father's Day, every year, you know, there's an opportunity to bring a message for Father's Day. What do you speak about? Do you speak about the Father's love, the Heavenly Father? We talked a little bit about that today. And no greater love, no greater example than the role of the Heavenly Father. Do you highlight a father figure in Scripture where there is a great relationship between a father and a son? Do you praise the dads for who they are and what they're trying to accomplish? Is my mic cutting in and out? Or is it was just a loud spot? Okay. If it's cutting in and out, I'll just turn it off. So do I just stand up here and praise the dads for half an hour for you're so wonderful? Kind of did that for about 30 seconds. Do you beat the dads up? Do you take them to this is what you should be? You need to be doing this and that, and just kind of harass them for 30 minutes. The mothers say, yes, please. All of those things will probably be covered in churches today throughout the world. All those different ideas. There's so many choices to choose from. What I would like for us to do this morning is to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, one verse, verse number 12. So it should be a very short message, no promises though. This is not typically a Father's Day passage. What we have here is we have Paul challenging Timothy. It's not even in the context of Father's Day. I'm not sure they had Father's Day when Paul was mentoring Timothy. All of that is true, but what we find here is we find Paul challenging Timothy with something that is applicable to fathers, something that is applicable to every believer everywhere. Let's look at our verse together. As I read it, you'll say, oh, I know that verse. Let no man despise thy youth. It's verse number 12 in 1 Timothy 4. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I think you can see where we're going with this. You probably already know where we're headed. But for me, this study was such a great great reminder of the opportunity that I have to be an example. And we'll talk a little bit about the context of what Paul was writing to Timothy, what Timothy was facing. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But for me, this study has been just, I guess, kind of a smack in the mouth a little bit. That punch in the face we were talking about a minute ago. But let's pray, and then we'll jump into our text, and we'll explain some stuff and study some stuff. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. Thank you for the perfect Father that you are. Thank you for the love and the grace and the mercy that you have for us. I thank you for the relationship that we can have with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for all that you are. Please give us understanding. Please, Holy Spirit, make the application in our hearts, in our lives. Please help us to be faithful to you. I pray that we will praise you and honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's read that text again. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit, in faith, in purity. As we look at this, the title, the big thought, is be an example. All of us are an example to someone in some way. So the title, be an example, we are. It's the challenge is not necessarily to be an example. It's what kind of example are you being? Because all of us have a realm of influence. Whether you're a mother, a grandpa, a grandma, a single person, a teenager. All of us are an example for someone in some way. What are we an example of? Is what I want us to consider this morning. What example are you setting? We're all examples. We all have a realm of influence. What is that example? What are you modeling? What does your example represent? Is your example consistent? Does it depend on who you are around? The example you're setting? And I feel like teens, this applies to you in a pretty good way. Do you change the example you are depending on who you're with? I know I sure did that when I was a teenager. My mom's not here, so I can tell you some stories of my childhood. But I'll wait on that. Seriously, I mean, let's think about this opportunity, this responsibility that we have, that we are all examples. What example are you setting? Before we dive into that thought, let's be faithful to the text. Let's consider what Paul is writing to Timothy in this verse. What's he explaining to Timothy? Why is this passage in the Bible? See, Timothy was in charge of the church at Ephesus. And Paul is writing him these letters, giving him some instruction, giving him the way that he should be leading, the way that he should be living, the way that he should be operating in his role of pastor at the church of Ephesus. Paul was giving him instructions. He was giving him advice. He is writing to Timothy like Timothy was his own son. So interesting there. It's Father's Day, right? Paul's writing to Timothy as he was his own son. He wasn't biologically Timothy's father. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 2, he says, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." So you can see the compassion, you can see the love, you can see the care that Paul would have for Timothy. And he recognizes that their relationship there, where Paul has been a mentor to him, almost a spiritual father in the sense that he's been discipling him and training him. And that's what these letters are to Timothy, is, hey, Timothy, you're young. You got a big job ahead of you. You have a hard job ahead of you. You have a difficult task trying to lead a church, trying to lead people. Here's some instructions that will help you out. You can see the way that Paul cares for Timothy as you read through these letters. He's training him. He's mentoring him. He's discipling him. Think about the neat opportunity for Timothy to have Paul, I mean, we would recognize as a hero of the faith, but to have Paul be the one that's training you on a daily basis, I mean, that's pretty neat stuff. And that's what the relationship was there. In our text today, Paul addresses how others might view the youth of Timothy. And then he tells Timothy the kind of example that he should be setting. Remember, we're talking about examples today. What kind of example are you setting? But we see Paul giving Timothy some specific instruction on the kind of example that Timothy should be setting. Yes, this letter is written to a young pastor, but the truth, the application, is so relevant to all believers. To every single believer, this truth is relevant to. To all those who are influencing others, this passage is relevant. Let's look at our text one more time, and then we'll dive into each verse, or to each part of the verse specifically. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He starts out by saying, let no man despise thy youth. And interesting phrase there, interesting thought going on there. Timothy was a young pastor. This Greek word that they use to describe Timothy as youth or being young describes someone under the age of 40. So it's debatable how old he actually was, but we believe that he is under 40. A lot of commentators agree that he was somewhere mid to late 30s at this time. So Paul is challenging him, let no man despise thy youth. In the Greek culture, there was a great emphasis placed on age and experience. Timothy would not be handed respect because he was young. It wouldn't be handed to him. He was young. Remember, in the culture, you have to be over 40 to be given this respect. But he is under 40, apparently. And Paul's warning him, let no man despise thy youth. Yes, you're young. This respect isn't going to be handed to you. You might be leading a church, you might be young, there might be some authority there, but this respect isn't just granted to you because of your position in leadership. Paul warns and he challenges Timothy that he's going to have to earn this respect. And he tells him, do not let anyone look down on you because of your young age. It was inexcusable for others to look down on him just because he was under 40. But guess what? That was going to be a battle that he would have to face. So Paul warns him. Paul is going to encourage here. And what he says is, people are going to look down on you. Don't let it bother you. But set an example of the believers. So this respect isn't just going to be given to you. What you need to do is set an example of the believers. It starts out, be an example. Be indicates some action there, which is what we're about to see, is that there's going to be some action that Timothy needs to execute. He says, be an example. We understand what an example is. It's a model. It's to pattern something. And what we find is that what Timothy needed to do was to live out what he claimed to be. He claimed to be a believer. He needed to live that out in his life. He needed to set a good example. He needed to not just talk about it, not just stand up in front of the people and teach the people, here's what you need to do, here's what you need to know, here's what you need to learn. He needed to be an example. He needed to live it out. And then, thinking of Father's Day and the application to fathers here, Proverbs 22:6, probably used a million times today throughout churches, train up a child in the way he should go. and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That word, or the part of it, train up a child, doesn't that include more than just talking? Doesn't it take more to train others than just to have a message? Training involves work, right? Am I crazy on that? If you just tell a kid to do something, or you just tell someone to do something, and you never model it, isn't there going to be some complications down the road? They turn 18 and you're like, what happened? I told you all the right stuff to do. There's more to it, right? Training involves modeling, being an example. It's more than talking, it's walking, it's living it out. Proverbs 10:9, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. The idea of walking uprightly. More than just talking right, it's walking right. Be an example, Paul tells Timothy. Paul gets specific with the kind of example that Timothy should be. He should be an example of what? The believers. Of those who believe, of those who have trusted in Christ, of those who have been redeemed, of those who are declared righteous by the perfect shed blood of Jesus Christ. Paul tells him to be an example of the believers. And he gets specific here. We're going to look at each one of these six words that he gets specific with. The first one is, be an example of the believers in word. In what he said, in what Timothy was going to say, in the way he was going to speak, in the words that came out of his mouth, he was going to need to be an example of the believers. The idea of letting his speech identify him with Christ. And in our lives, it matters what we say. And that can be convicting, that it matters what we say. Maybe you have a phrase that you say, and you say it when you're angry or when something goes wrong, and it doesn't seem that bad, but then you hear your kids say it, and you're going to get the soap bottle, you know. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden it becomes terrible when you hear it come out of your kid's mouth. But that's stuff that we shouldn't be saying as an example, as a mentor, as someone modeling. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, a few verses in there when we consider speech. Ephesians 4, verse 25, we'll kind of jump around a little bit here. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So the idea of our speech should be truth. That's important. Especially when you consider with kids. I mean, all the time it's important, but man, aren't kids good at calling you out? Grandkids, little kids. Be careful. But we should be speaking truth with everyone. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That narrows down what we should be saying, right? But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Speech that produces grace. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. What example of speech are we setting for those listening? And I kind of hinted at this earlier that it's contagious. Have you noticed that? Man, it's been kind of, I'm going to be honest here with you a little bit. It's been kind of a crazy couple of weeks with a lot of stress in my life, not trying to justify what I'm about to tell you. But I have been angry or hollered at my kids or not responded to Maggie the way that I should. And it's contagious because I'll see it in my kids. Like, I might be talking to my kids that way, and they have nobody to talk to. I guess each other, they get on each other. But they'll go outside to our poor dog and let the dog have it. But isn't that the way that it works? I mean, it's that speech is contagious. And Paul is telling Timothy here to be an example of the believers in your words, in what you say, in your speech. So important for Timothy as he is leading people. So important for us as we are being examples to others, as we are leading children or coworkers or friends or however it goes, whoever we're discipling, whoever is in our sphere of influence. We need to be an example of speech, or be giving a good example with right words. Then he goes on to say, he says, be an example of the believers in word, in conversation. What's conversation? We just talked about words. What's conversation? It's behavior. It's your conduct. Paul's telling Timothy, hey, be an example with what you say and what you do. Be a model of doing what is right. Actions that don't line up with your words are what? Hypocrisy. Wasn't Jesus pretty clear in speaking to hypocrites? Didn't have a lot of nice things to say for them? Called them out with where they were, what they were doing? Titus, be a couple pages to your right. Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. We see the idea of those who might speak a good game, but when it comes down to conversation or to living it out, they're not being a good example of the believers. And isn't that kind of the reputation that believers have brought upon themselves? That hypocrite? And I understand everyone in the world is a hypocrite. I understand it. But there seems to be that magnifying glass where I'm not hanging around Christians, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Why? Because we talk one thing and we live out another. And Paul is challenging Timothy, be an example of the believers in word, in conversation. And now apply that to raising your children or your grandchildren or to mentoring someone. Have you noticed that kids will tend to follow what you do more than what you say? Have you noticed that? Man, it's hard to get angry at them and correct them when you were just doing that same thing or saying that same thing. You can say the right things and you can teach the right things all day long, but you need to be acting on your message. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man, endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. So there's the idea of not just talking the right words, but living out what you preach. Then he goes on in the verse, in verse 12, and says, be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity. There's a good one. Timothy needed to be an example of charity, of biblical love. He needed to set the example. And it seems to be rare in our world to see biblical love modeled. We see shortcomings all over the place. We studied 1 Corinthians chapter 13 a few weeks ago. The first 7 verses, right in the middle of the spiritual gifts and the difficulties the church was having, they're reminded, hey, Here's what charity looks like. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Here it is, charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. We see the example. We see the love that when we're sensitive and obedient to the Holy Spirit in our lives, we see the love, we see the actions, we see the response that we should be living out. Is that the love that we're mentoring, though? Is that the example that we're passing on? Is that the way our kids see us treat our spouse? We just looked at this definition of love. We know the right answers, but again, it comes down to acting on it and being obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because when we're following Him, when we're being obedient to Him, that is the response that we have. Or do we get too caught up in our wrong emotions and feelings where we aren't examples of this love? We need to give the example on how to love God and how to love others. That's what Timothy was to be doing. And I don't see anywhere in the Scripture that doesn't ask the same of us. Are we modeling, are we an example of how others should love God and how others should love other people? Fair question. Next is spirit, be an example of the believers in spirit. And with this, we can find the inner enthusiasm and excitement of a child of God. What kind of spirit, what type of attitude are you modeling? And man, this can be a tough one. I guess they all can be tough ones, and we fall short and we can feel bad about it. But the right type of attitude. Are we modeling the right attitude to others? Do they see a Christ-like attitude in our lives? Oh, man, don't kids pick up on attitudes? Don't coworkers pick up on attitudes? So contagious. Are we an example of the believers in spirit? Next, he says, be an example of the believers in faith. And faith and faithfulness is the big picture that he's talking about here. Are you an example of faith? And we can see this one play out in our lives too, where we talk big game around other people at work. I'm a Christian. You know, I have faith. I believe in God. But when it comes down to, I mean, Timothy's going to face challenges. Is that faith going to come out when those challenges come? Or do we find ourselves doubting and setting an example of doubt when it should be faith? And then faithfulness. Are we being faithful? Are we walking in a faithful, consistent way? Then he goes on to say, lastly, be an example of the believers in purity. The main idea here is sexual purity, from the Greek word that is used for purity. Ephesus was a place filled with sexual impurity. And Timothy, as a leader of the church, had to be very careful with the choices that he made in a very difficult location, in a very difficult place. And Paul is telling him, set the right example for purity. Isn't our world a difficult place? I mean, impurities everywhere. People are questioning all kinds of stuff that the Bible is very clear is impure. Are we setting the example for what is right, for what biblical purity is? Do our kids get that from us? Timothy was to set an example in purity in motives as well as actions. And you could read into that purity his motives for doing stuff as well. The idea is that Timothy needed to be an example of purity. He needed to set a godly example. So, context, Paul is challenging Timothy, be an example of the believers. For us, we have an opportunity to be an example of the believers. Nothing new. I don't think I've told you anything new today that you haven't heard that you didn't already know. Probably over half of you have this verse memorized. Nothing new today. But what a good checkup. What a good reminder for us. Are we being an example of the believers, or are we just talking the talk? Timothy had to be an example, as well as talk a good talk. But for me, this was such a good reminder, such a challenge. And I know I'm at a different life stage than some of you right now, where I have four little kids, and this is so relevant where, man, I get one shot at raising these kids, and I want them to love Jesus, and I want them to be faithful to God. I want them to love other people. I want them to have the right attitudes and actions. And I needed this study this week. I needed this reminder. And all of us have an opportunity to set an example of the believers. And I just wonder, do we need this checkup? Do we need this reminder? I wonder how often Timothy went back and reread this letter that Paul had given him with all this useful, godly information. Where, man, I'm leading these people, such a responsibility. I need this help, and him reading through it and studying it with a passion. Do we have that passion? Do we have that concern? Where, what kind of example am I setting? Am I just going through the motions and living each day? Or am I being an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity? We're all setting an example. What kind of example are we setting? Let's pray together. Dear Father, I thank you for the relevancy of your word. Thank you that we can be encouraged and challenged from a letter that you used Paul to give to Timothy, where he could challenge Timothy and encourage him. I pray that you would just help us to take your instructions to heart, Father, that we will walk in obedience to you. We know that through your blood, through your finished work on the cross, your death, your burial, your resurrection, that we are declared righteous. But we also know that we were saved with a purpose, to glorify you, to set an example, to do right. I pray that you would help us, Father, to operate in obedience to you. Please help us to consider who we are setting an example for and what kind of example we are setting. I thank you for the example that you gave us, for the examples that are given to us. I pray that you will lead us and guide us, and that we'll be sensitive and obedient to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.